This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Let's get it cracking. 3 o'clock standing tall, feeling good on a hump day. It's Wednesday. Seat Williams, Ari back in the controls, the ones and two. Plenty to get to today. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA. He's going to join the crew here about 10 after, 12 after, somewhere in there to talk about the Rams. They get that big Coliseum to host their fan base against the Falcons coming up Saturday at 5:15. How will that work out? We'll talk about the Lakers as well, and you know who, LeVar Ball. Chargers, Anthony Lynn did a good job getting the Chargers in a position to make it to the postseason. Didn't quite come to fruition. However, the promise is there. Coaches moving around, both in college and the NFL. We'll get to that as well. But how are you, brother? You're still under the weather a little, huh?
Yeah, just a little. I'm here, though.
You look sleepy.
That's I got like the medicine head thing, you know, like the congestion and yeah, all that great stuff.
Well, thanks, I'll tell you.
Thanks, coworkers.
The Vegas Golden Knights don't have a problem, huh? They took one of their star players and gave him a nice extension today.
Jonathan Marchessault. He signs a six-year contract extension worth $30 million. It's a nice chunk of change.
See, now that's rare. You hear hockey salaries. You can start at the top. The top, of course, would be baseball, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, where the contracts are guaranteed and they're much, much bigger than anyone else, okay? Baseball players may be making up to $15 to $20 million. The elite players may make more, $25 million. Like a Clayton Kershaw or someone. You take the basketball players, LeBron James making $30 million. Kobe was making, what, $40 million, $45 million for 2 years? So the kind of money that they make in the other sports is way greater. However, it doesn't mean the passion for the sport isn't there for the fan base. And the contracts, like in the other two sports, are guaranteed, unlike in football, where it's front heavy. You get the guarantee on the bonus, the signing bonus, and then from there it trickle downs and back into your career. You get cut, you want to come back, you sign for half or whatever the percentage just may be. But this is good news for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It was a big win yesterday, 2-3 over the Nashville Predators. It was an interesting crowd. It was like the crowd was like, I think they were
hungover?
Tired. Yeah.
Are they hungover?
Not the Vegas hangover, just a Vegas hangover. Yeah, I think. And it was a Tuesday and stuff like that. The crowd, I mean, they were there. And the numbers were there.
They just weren't as.
I just feel like the energy was a little like, yeah, go Knights, but I'm tired.
3-0. Like, they blanked Nashville, yeah. A pretty good team. 8 in a row. I was looking on the stroll at the bottom of ESPN, and it says the first American hockey franchise since, I think it's way back in 90-something with Denver, that has an 8-0 streak, something of that nature. I could be a little bit off, but I saw it under bottom line on ESPN earlier this morning.
I can't even keep up with all the records they're breaking. Honestly, I know I sound like a homer, but it's the truth. There's records for expansion teams, and then you could take the expansion tag off them, and then, you know, these winning streaks and stuff like that. It's crazy. They're special, man.
They are. And let's face it. I mean, the city's gravitated to them. And we're also pretty fickle. So if this team is just the opposite, the attendance wouldn't be about the same. But in the long haul, they want to embrace something. The Vegas fan base, they want to embrace something. We have the 51s, a professional baseball team. But this is our first major league professional team. We got the Raiders coming. We're going to get to Gruden here in a minute. But this is something that we haven't had before. It's hockey. And most of us don't know how to skate, but it doesn't matter. This is our team, and we want to get behind them, and we want to support them, and that's what we're doing. So congrats. And also, I believe their coach was named as the
coach of the
Western team. And
deservedly so, too.
All-Star game. So.
Because this, if you can coach that team, not that they're that bad or anything, but, I mean, just a bunch of guys with – zero chemistry to start with. You just threw him in there. No overwhelming star of the team. So that's a coach to me. You can't get any better than
You're
that.
You're at every home game. Give me what you take from it.
I've always said, the energy, the home, something about like the home thing with the major. Like, I've been here for 15 years, but having professional sports is just a whole different thing. I was talking to a guy named Connor. He was in from Hawaii, and he was born and raised here, but he lived in Hawaii the last 3 years. And now he's following the Knights from there. And he was in town here just for the New Year's. But I get a lot of stories like that. I got a lot of Canadians and random, like, people from random towns saying that they're following, oh, this is, you know, Fox Sports. That's our sister station where the games are broadcast. This is where I can check it out. And they're actually following the Knights from other cities. And we're a big story in Canada. Like, we're, you know, nationally, it's a big story. So I think that, like, the energy, obviously the winning, their play is incredible. You know, I'm not a hockey guru quite yet, but what I'm knowing of the sport, I mean, they play really well. They execute. They've had some issues in the beginning, a lot of which they've hashed out, penalty play and things like that. And yeah, they don't seem to let up on, they really want to win. And I mean, another success story is the whole goalie situation. They were four deep and their fourth string goalie and still winning. And now Fleury's back. And I mean, he's a champion. So, I mean, and they're playing like it even better now. So,
all right, there you go. The Vegas Golden Knights, 8 in a row, top of the West. 3-0 win over Nashville Friday. They're in Chicago taking on the Blackhawks. We'll do some ticket giveaways from them in the future as well. I think we have some Rebel tickets again for San Diego State coming up later in this show in the final go-round. On to coaching elsewhere. And John Gruden, former Raider coach, former Super Bowl winning coach against his former team when he was with Tampa, had a good meeting with Mark Davis. And, you know, a little controversy going on with him and Stephen A. Smith, where Stephen A. Smith, I guess, said something to the effect of perhaps he may have something to do with the ownership. Well, he came on, I'm referring to the coach. Gruden comes on Golic and Wingle and shoots that down and says, no. I heard he kind of shot Stephen A. Smith down a little bit. So Stephen A. came back firing this morning. I'm watching this. And it was kind of fun. Nevertheless, the quote is, I'm excited about where I'm in terms of studying the game and prepared to come back and coach. I just don't want to sit here and speculate. Gruden will be great for the Raiders. Gruden has been a coach, even though he's been away from coaching since 2008. He's been at ESPN doing Monday nights, doing the Gruden thing with the quarterbacks. He's always wanted to come back. It's just a matter of when and where. Well, when I go back home, he's going to find himself, if he gets the job, and he likely will, in Oakland maybe one more year, and in maybe half of that, whatever the case may be, but then he's going to be our coach with the Raiders here in Vegas. Looking forward to that happening. That should be a lot of fun. Also, Marvin Lewis, this may come as a surprise because he was all but gone with the Cincinnati Bengals. Well, hold your horses, 2-year extension. So Marvin Lewis, and it's the same old song. So if you're a player for the Bengals, you know what you're going to get. Can you go out and execute it? Marvin Lewis is a guy who puts it plain and simple. This is how we play. This is what we do. And the players just haven't gravitated to it. I don't know why. Either you got to make a move with Marvin or you got to clean house. What's easier to do? Well, they gave him the extension, so they believe in him. He's got so many lives, huh? He's still rolling. And also on the coaching front, we talked about this yesterday. Scott Frost, who just took the job at Nebraska and took UCF, rather, to the Peach Bowl championship with a 34-27 win over Auburn. 13-0. Apparently, I think they got a parade coming as national champs. Well, they're not national champs, but in their minds they are. They went 13-0, the only undefeated team in college football this year. Well, Scott Frost, he signed a 7-year, $35 million contract with Nebraska, and his policy in there was, if you take me, you have to take all of my assistant coaches, right? And they did. Well, the back end of this is, while leaving the Knights at UCF, they had bonuses coming to them. Incentives, things in the contract. So now UCF is going to pay him and his coaching staff, even though they're leaving, those bonuses, which will give them the money they need to find their new homes in Lincoln, Nebraska. So imagine that. A good guy, and on his way out after they beat Auburn, he's standing up on the podium saying, hey, look, if I were a kid, guess what? I'd want to be a Knight. He's recruiting for UCF while he's leaving it. That's a guy who really gets it. He has a key to that city down there forever. He could go in there at any time, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you put him on the schedule. Well, I'd be kind of silly too, right? Because he could beat you. That's why you don't see any teams in the SEC or any other big conferences playing this team. You know, even though they had some nice wins, teams won't play them. Teams won't schedule them. And that's where we find things going down. So, hey, if you're a fan of Nebraska, guess what? Here we go. You got a coach coming in. You got some good coaches. Hey, roll with it. That's where we are right now. All right, we're going to step away. We'll come back. Nick Hamilton is on deck. We're rolling here on NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's let blow.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:17 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. This one right here, let's go Bills. Wow. The donations are still flying in. Buffalo Bill fans headed to the playoffs. Can't wait to get there in Jacksonville. But in case you don't know, and I saved this one till today to see how much higher it would get. The Buffalo Bill fans, within 48 hours after Andy Dalton did this.
Ravens trying to end it here. Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable.
In your face. NFL Radio Network pushing it out. After Andy Dalton did that, the Buffalo Bills won their game. They went on to begin to donate to Andy Dalton's foundation, his charity foundation. Okay. In the first 48 hours, they donated over $100,000 to his foundation. Okay. Because they haven't been to the playoffs in 17 years. Now, the average donation was $17 to $22. At that point, they had, 7,000 people that had donated. Well, add it up, do the math. Now, it's over $218,000 from 9,500 donors. Okay, the Buffalo Bills are that thirsty for the playoffs, and they got it. Hope they don't lose and get crushed this weekend. In the end, some other things they're adding to this. They're putting up, now dig this. This ain't even their guy. This is a guy who plays for another team. They're putting up 4 billboards, 2 each way on the main freeway, thanking Andy Dalton for beating the Ravens to get them into the playoffs. 17 years of misery. Bills. Damn dope.
Man. You're not on Twitter, are you?
Oh, no,
Twitter
I'm
was
on
going
Facebook.
Crazy.
I it bet
crazy.
It is.
But you probably saw stuff on Facebook, yes. Too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad for them, I guess.
Hey, think about it, though. I mean, it's not even your guy. You may have to face him someday.
Yeah.
All right? I'll tell you what, though, for Andy Dalton, if he keeps his slate clean, plays through this, he's thanking them back, though, for the donations to his foundation.
Sure, yeah.
But if you want to retire in Buffalo uniform someday, I mean, you could do it. They love you, Andy Dalton.
Might get a statue.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. Buffalo Bill fans are so desperate for a playoff. And remember, that's the one team that went to the playoffs 4 consecutive years.
I remember. Yeah.
And lost in the Super Bowl 4 times in a row.
Yeah, there was the Giants twice. Was that right?
Uh-huh. And then Cowboys beat them, and I can't recall who the other team was. Maybe. But they also had the biggest comeback ever in football against Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers. I was watching that the replay of that game this morning. They were showing highlights of it. They were up, what was the score? 30. The score was something like 34-3. And they came back and won the game.
Wow.
Buffalo did. The biggest comeback in the history of the NFL. So, Bills.
Hey, anything can happen.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam Hill on ESPN. He's the only Buffalo Bills fan.
You know,
I know
what? I was all over him yesterday. I'm like, are you going?
The only one.
He's like, no, I'm not going. But if they win, he's going to their next road game because they'll already be in the city they'll be playing in. So he's got it figured out. Buffalo Bill fans, they have nothing else to live for.
Yeah, they really don't.
Nothing else. In Vegas, we got the Vegas Golden Knights. Even if they weren't any good, but they are, they're special, we still would have other things to do in Vegas.
Exactly. Yeah, that's dope. Mine's a little off sports. This is an interesting story. Are you a cognac? You're not a big drinker, are you?
No, occasionally I'll throw some back at home.
A little cognac.
Cognac will do.
So there's a little Louis the 13th. Probably not, because it's like $3,500 a bottle.
Never.
But we actually had a guy on a different show last week told us this story. So Louis the 13th, the brand, it's a cognac brand. They are doing, a quick background. All their decanters of Louis the 13th, which is the bottle, they're aged and blended in a process that takes 100 years to complete. That's why the bottle's so expensive. Even the bottle is like some kind of a crystal glass, whatever. So it's kind of special. So what they do is, like every bottle is 100 years, made 100 years ago. The person that manufactures it, creates it, doesn't even get to try it because it'll already be passed away, right? So Pharrell Williams, if you're familiar from the Neptunes, a big, huge producer across many, many genres, primarily hip-hop and pop and R&B. Phenomenal musician. He's a very big guy in terms of just like trends and things like that. And he's a phenomenal musician. He made a song, a musical composition. The song will be released in 2117. And they're basing it, it's the premise is the project. It's called, quote, 100 years, the song we'll only hear if we care. And the motivation behind it is to raise environmental issues. It's a creative expression of the delicate relationship between nature and time and the effects humans have on the environment. And if the track was recorded onto a record made of clay from chalky soil of the Cognac region. Basically, the only thing that can damage this, and it's in the safe that it's held, is if it ends up underwater. In other words, it's totally indestructible unless, you know, it's overtaken by water. And if sea levels continue to rise at such an alarming rate that they have been due to climate change and global warming and all that, scientists are projecting that in 100 years, a significant portion of the world's land will be underwater. So basically, the motivation here is take care of the world, the planet, and we might actually get to hear this song.
Oh,
I think
gee.
That's kind of dope. As a musician too, and watching people knock out stuff in like 15 minutes and call that, you know, a timeless record and say they put their heart and soul into it, I thought that was kind of cool. They really care, you know, about a couple different things, but the music itself, it's got to be something timeless 100 years from now, the environmental part of it.
But how do you know that's going to be the music then? That's going to be the end thing for music.
That's what I said. I don't even know if they can play a record in 100 years. I mean, look how far we've got. CDs are pretty much obsolete at this point. I mean, MP3s are almost obsolete. Yeah. And I don't even know if you're on MP3s yet.
I'm still doing CDs.
You know, so I just thought it was pretty dope. It's interesting. I wish I was around in 2117 to hear it.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be around then. Yeah, I don't want to deal with what's coming.
I did real quick. I did get to have a teeny little sip of the Louis 13.
Oh, that's why you're tripping in here.
You know what? This was last week before I was sick. It was, I'm not a big drinker, especially
Did you get the buzz?
What I got was like, it actually was really smooth. You know how people say, oh, that's smooth. This whiskey is smooth. No, it's not. It's whiskey. That's
whiskey
how I feel.
Smooth.
That stuff is all harsh to me. This stuff, not that I'm going to pay, you know, $300 for a shot, but it was pretty decent.
I'll tell you what goes down smoothly. Grand Marnier.
Yeah, that's a nice one.
That's a smooth orange tip.
There you go.
All right. Let's move on. Manu Ginobili. Okay, we thought he was going to retire last year. Didn't do it. Came back. He's there. Tony Parker's there. A couple of their veterans. This was interesting. In their game last night, he's trying to throw a pass, but it goes in the bucket. It's a three-pointer, but the referees didn't see it.
I didn't see the sense of urgency there. Ginobili. That's a three. The ball didn't go through the net. The officials like it went through the net. That was a basket. The officials were unaware that ball, that was a good basket. It was an intended pass.
It's actually a three-pointer, Mike. Right there, I think he's behind the arc. Couldn't see his feet there, but
they didn't see it. Clearly a basket. And the Knicks just took the ball. Beasley just took it and advanced it.
Obviously, the Knicks never took it out.
It was a three-pointer. Let it play till the end of it.
Yeah, the thing is,
the referees didn't.
We've seen some
go view it. I know you have
circle around the rim about six times before it went in.
You have a rule that, you know, you can only really review stuff in the final 2 minutes, but that was a three-pointer. They got it right eventually. 95-81, the victory there for San Antonio. To me, that pass going in the bucket, the player didn't touch it that he was lobbing it to. That was pretty damn dope.
Real dope. It was smooth, actually.
And so nobody's like,
it looks
hey,
pretty
whoa!
Convincing, you know?
It went down.
Yeah. Got time for one more?
Yeah, drop me.
All right, let's do it. This is funny. Actually, it's not funny at all.
It better be now.
It's funny to me, but I've always wondered about stuff like this. I've never really had any major emergencies speeding to the hospital, but I always wondered, like, if you're in a rush for something, you know, when I'm rushing to work, I'm like, if a cop pulled me over, would I be able to say, hey, I know, but hey, I had to get there because X, Y, Z.
Oh, you mean the times you have to use the bathroom before the show and you're
right?
late?
Or, you know, I was going to say, like, yeah, officer, sorry I woke up so late, but the show goes live at 3 p.m. Is there any way we... That's, yeah.
Got you.
So this is a little different. A police officer's delivered a baby girl after a panicked dad sparked the car chase speeding to the hospital. This is New Year's. This just happened. New Year's Eve into the morning. It was like 1 a.m. on New Year's Day, officially. South Carolina dad was tailed by police speeding to Charleston Hospital with his partner, who was in labor 3 weeks early. He was going up to 90 miles per hour. And the reason being because the doctor said there would be complications, if possibly be complications, if they didn't make it to the hospital on time to do a natural birth. They were stopped by the police, and he said, quote, I could stop. I guess the guy, in reference to whether he would stop or not, he said, I could stop, but my wife is screaming, the baby is almost here. So he just keeps going. I applaud that. Hey, I really do. Like, put your guns out on me. You got to do what you got to do. Now, yeah, luckily, yeah. So they take him out and actually handcuff him because that's a safety precaution. I guess apparently people will try to fake pregnancy, like say, oh, doctor, you know, don't arrest.
They rub the woman's belly.
I don't know how that happens, but they handcuffed him as a safety precaution while he's cuffed in the car. The guy delivers the baby with the officers.
So
and
she never made it to the hospital.
No, they had to because they stopped him. So Anastasia came out 6 pounds 2 ounces, and they uncuffed the guy and said, quote, it's a girl. Go see your wife and kid, man.
All right. What if the baby doesn't make it and the woman dies?
Oh, that's a great question. Or either or. I wonder if there's any account of responsibility to that. Or, I mean, if they got stopped, I don't know if they put out, like, you know, if they had to, what's that word, when they hit them, you know, all that stuff. That's even crazier to me.
You know more than me on that. But see, to me, the thing is, thank God it didn't happen that way.
Of course.
The baby came through successfully. Everyone's healthy. But boy, if you handcuff him and that woman doesn't make it.
Yeah. You might as well leave him in cuffs.
No, you may as well walk away from your patrol car too and take out the gun.
Yeah, I'm pretty
pointed
much
at yourself.
I'm gonna go crazy on you if I'm okay. Carl, whatever his
but
name
that worked
is.
Out well. So it lighter's did. Down, dope is over. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports Radio on deck.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
3:31 in the Valley, working here on a hump day. Seat Williams, Ari's got the ones and twos as we get ready for that giveaway coming up in the final go-round. Rebels San Diego State will do that in the final ticks of the show. Right now we're going out to Los Angeles, NBC Sports Radio LA. Nick Hamilton, hey, bro, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. New Year's went all good for you?
It was cool, man. How was yours in the 702, man?
Things are nice. Things are nice.
Okay.
You know, I light it up on the 30th because that's my birthday, and then I recover
on
New Year's
Eve. Happy birthday, belated birthday.
That's the way we do it. Thank you, bro. All right, let's before we jump on the Rams thing, of course, that's what we're looking at right now in the Chargers. Let's talk about John Gruden a bit. John Gruden has never left being a head coach. Okay, he didn't have a coaching title for any of the teams in the NFL, but you could see on ESPN when he was walking through with the different college quarterbacks that were going to eventually move on to the next level, the NFL. Monday Night Football, his engagement, his conversation on different shows, spotting up on ESPN shows. He never really left being a head coach. But you could tell that in his heart and in his mind and his intent, he wanted to come back and coach. He wasn't going to go to the collegiate level. He wanted to be another coach in the NFL. He was waiting for the right time, and it looks like the right time is going to be in Raider Nation.
Yeah, I mean, this has been 5 years in the making. We've been hearing rumors, as they say, rumors of wars when it comes to John Gruden. I mean, we knew the inevitable was going to happen at some point. And John Gruden can coach. I mean, he knows the game of football. I'm not going to take anything away from him with that. But also, let's remember something. John Gruden is the same coach that won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's team. Once Tony Dungy's team was disassembled, look at the coaching record, what he did in Tampa. And then once he was able to walk away and get back into broadcasting, which he did a fantastic job, I think, and be able to assess talent. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away that he can't assess talent, but it's way different assessing talent in a booth versus being on the field and being on the sidelines week in and week out. If I'm the Raiders, yes, John Gruden makes sense. But also, too, let's also look at the fact that the thing that puzzles me is why would you give this guy ownership in the team?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Being director of player personnel is fine.
I don't think that part's going to happen. He actually came on one of the shows with Golikin and what is it, Golikin Ringo, whoever he's doing the show.
Yeah, Golikin Wingo. Yeah,
Ringo. Yeah. Gringo. They're doing the show. And he came back and he actually blasted Stephen A. Smith and said, hey, I don't know where he got that from, but that's not true. So he knocked that out the park. That's your update on the money, on the ownership part. But the coaching thing, a lot of people are asking the question, what about the Rooney Rule? Are other candidates for the job and minorities in particular being interviewed in the real interview mode, or are they just a passerby because Gruden is their guy? Look, I kind of get it. If there's a guy you want as your head coach, in the end, my opinion, you have a right to get him, but you do have to go through the procedure. And if the procedure is made to look real, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just being real. If I were an owner and there was a guy that I wanted as my guy, I'd follow the format of the procedures I'd have to take. But in the end, I'm going to hire the guy that I want to coach my franchise. I'm the one paying the money out and paying out the salaries.
No, that's fair, but at the same time, let's not forget that there is a reason why the Rooney Rule is in place and not any other sport. And to me, I think you could have your guy, as you said. You know, if you want your guy, this is the guy that you selected, this is the guy that you wanted. But what if there's another guy who happens to be a minority candidate that is better than your quote-unquote guy? Do you kick the guy that's better for the franchise out the door because you're just going through the formalities, or do you hang on to, quote, your guy, and then you see the results that are not going to be fruitful as you thought they were because you were dead set on your guy? See, that's the problem that lies here, because we don't know who else is out there that could be better than John Gruden or more applicable to what the Raiders need to do at the head coaching position. So that's my problem with this, is the fact that don't be so quick to be hanging on to, quote, your guy when there could be a better guy for the position that could take you a longer way in the long run.
Agreed. And the best example is the L.A. Chargers, Anthony Lynn. Okay, Anthony Lynn turned out, look what he did in one season with that same talent the Chargers had from the prior seasons coming forward. All right? They go 9-7. They were a flip of the coin away from, or I should say, bad luck away from going to the playoffs. So Anthony Lynn turned his team around. Not only that, he turned around the defense, went from a 34 to a 4-3. Everything that he did worked. They started out 0-4, really shaky. But after that point, he got this team together, and Phillip Rivers did his leadership. And that right there is a nice transition to what you're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. They were on the verge of making some history, because if they would have made the playoffs, they would have been the first team since the 1992 team to start 0-4 to make the playoffs. So they were well on their way. Like you said, just the football guys weren't enthusiastic about the Chargers making it or something, because nothing went their way other than them winning the football game against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday. Nothing went their way. But when you look at Anthony Lynn, even talking to players on Tuesday, Tyrell Williams and Trey Boston and guys like that, the one thing they said about Anthony Lynn is that he's a player's coach. He knows when he's not a rah-rah guy. He knows when to get on you. He knows when to step back. He challenges. You know, he challenges them at the position. Hey, if you're a wide receiver and you don't have the ball or not going to get the ball, you block. You make sure that receiver gets the ball. If you're a running back, you block. You make sure that running back has enough room to get us the first down or however much yardage we need to get to keep the drive going. And so when I look at what Anthony Lynn has accomplished, I mean, people bought into their system. I even talked to Anthony Lynn and asked him, when did he feel that the players bought into his system? He felt it was around OTAs when the players really, you know, showed up. He said even a little bit before then with voluntary workouts, guys were coming in consistently day in and day out, working out, preparing, getting their bodies ready, changing their diets, understanding the philosophy that Anthony Lynn disseminated to them, each and every one of them. So I think Anthony Lynn has done a successful job. The first time they've had a winning record since 2014, I believe. So, a lot of guys remain optimistic. I mean, Melvin Ingram was one of the catalysts for saying, you know what, we're building something special here. You know, you guys stay tuned. We're building something special. And he really meant that. I mean, Melvin Ingram is not going to say anything he really doesn't mean. He's a very forthcoming guy. So I think a lot of players echo those same sentiments, including Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon and Hunter Henry. So the Chargers, you know, they could be building something. It's going to be the tale in the offseason on how they draft and how well they develop the talent that they have currently along with the new draftees and what Tom Telesco is going to do. That's going to tell the tale for the following season. But hats off to Anthony Lynn. I think he did a successful job, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else he can get out of this squad in the upcoming 2018 season.
What's up with the backup quarterback situation now with the Chargers, and should they go after a Phillip Rivers replacement in the draft this year?
Is Las Vegas considered Sin City? Absolutely. They need to go after a quarterback ASAP. I think if you can't get a Baker Mayfield, if you can't get a Lamar Jackson or the kid out of Wyoming or even a Josh Rosen, you got to go after a quarterback. I mean, the backup situation and for the Chargers behind for the Rivers, it absolutely flat out stinks. I don't believe in Kellen Clemens, a nice guy. I don't believe in Cardale Jones, again, nice kid. But I don't believe in either one of those two. God forbid if Phillip Rivers went down, who would be his successor, and would you trust his successor? Not in these two, not at all. If you have a Lamar Jackson or a Baker Mayfield or a Josh Rosen, I can tend to trust those guys because those are young kids who are developed. They're going to take their licks, but they're going to be something special for the future. And I think they need to draft a quarterback. They need to definitely draft a center. They need to definitely work on – I mean, even Anthony Lynn said this, kicking is their priority. So they're going to have to definitely find a kicker that's going to be trustworthy enough to be able to hold that responsibility. And possibly maybe even a left guard or left tackle. So I think those are some of the areas that the Chargers need to focus in the offseason. But to answer your question, absolutely they need to draft the quarterback as of yesterday.
Yeah, that'll be a shameful day if we ever see Phillip Rivers carried off on a cart. I mean, we've watched him every Sunday or Monday or Thursday where he's in there and he plays his butt off. Okay, and look, the last time I saw him last year in person, he was in shape. Okay, how many quarterbacks actually get conditioned and in shape? This year, of course, he fought back and got his team into a winning situation, 9-7. Fun to watch as we move our way over to the other side of L.A. now, and that's the Coliseum and the Rams. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports Radio L.A. with us. Now, the Rams, they get a home game against Atlanta. Tell us about your thoughts in this matchup, what you see. We know if Freeman is a horse, okay, the running back for Atlanta. He compiled up pretty close to 900 yards. Gurley, on the other hand, is a train. So you got two running backs. Do you think this is going to come down to a game where you're going to see both teams try to establish the run game, or will you see Matty Ice and Goff going off?
Well, it's interesting because which Atlanta Falcons team is going to show up? Is it going to be the Atlanta Falcons team that continues to run the ball behind Devontae Freeman and be able to spread it wide and be able to give Matty Ice time to create on the fly? Or is it that team that's going to be – the offense is going to be as dull as we've ever seen? Which offense is going to show up? That is the question. Regardless of that, I think Devontae Freeman is going to be able to run the ball. But, again, you have that Rams defense behind Wade Phillips, and that Rams defense is thirsty. They're hungry. Whatever adjective you want to put in front of them, that's exactly what they are. And they're going to be ready. Even talking to Jared Goff yesterday, he was asked, this is your very first playoff game. How do you approach it? How do you feel? He said, man, we approach it like we approach any other game. It's just a day ahead, so everything is just a day ahead of our practice schedule. And he seemed very relaxed. He seemed very calm, cool, under pressure. I mean, cooler than a polar bear's toenails. So that's what you need when you have a young quarterback like a Jared Goff. You need a guy that's cool and under pressure and be able to execute effectively. And I think Ty Gurley is echoing the same sentiments. I think Ty Gurley is a guy that he's going to continue to go off. You give him an opening, he finds an opening, he's going to make you pay. And I'm not concerned about the Falcons' defense at all. They're suspect to begin with, but I think the Rams are going to be able to spread the ball a lot more. You look at Sammy Watkins as a deep threat on the slant. You look at Robert Woods. You look at Tyler Higbee. You look at Cooper Kupp. Those types of guys that can be able to get open, get wide, and be able to do some damage. And still have Tavon Austin coming out the backfield at times that can mix some things up. So I think the Rams have the advantage. Obviously, they're at home, but I think the Rams have the advantage. I think the Rams are prepared. This is the Atlanta Falcons team. Again, that's not the same team that we saw last year in the first half of the Super Bowl. This is a team that's still trying to search and rebuild their identity. And I think, the Rams are going to take it to them. I predicted the Rams to win this game and then move on the road, and then we'll see how the coin flips that way. But it's going to be a good game. I think each team is going to fill each other out early on, try to see what schemes each team is going to run, and then kind of figure it out from there. So don't expect a high-scoring game. At least I don't think so in the first quarter. I think it's going to probably open up probably early to mid-second quarter.
Well, that line is 6.5 Rams, 48 your total. So you say home field advantage, but I know L.A. like you know L.A., and mm-hmm. We are just SoCal fans. We're kind of laid back. We have a chance to go to the Coliseum. 100,000 people could get in there. But will the L.A. fans stay home and watch it on TV?
Well, I think the fact that the Rams are the only team playing, it's a Saturday night game, 77,000. This could be a part of something special. They could be a part of history. Who doesn't want to be a part of history? So I think the fans, over the course of the last few games, more and more fans start to come out a little bit more and more. So I think this is the fact that they have a playoff game against a decent contender. I think, they will draw some more fans out. I think maybe you might have had more fans if, say, they played a team like a Carolina team who's very scary right now with Cam Newton. I think you may have had a little bit more fans come out just to witness Cam Newton against Jared Goff. But I think the fans will still come out. I mean, it's going to be cold. We in SoCal don't like the cold too much. I'm one of them. So that may play a factor. But other than that, I think it's going to be a great game, a great atmosphere Saturday night. I mean, you can't beat it. Downtown L.A., come on.
And you won't have the breakdown like you do with Charger fans. It won't be like 90-10 Raiders at the StubHub with the Chargers, or on a basis every day, 65-35 opponents versus Chargers. What's the breakdown as far as fan base at the Coliseum with the Rams?
Well, it's majority Rams fans. I mean, you do have some fans sprinkled in. I mean, when I was there for the last game, I was ice, and it was the Saints and the Rams. And there was probably about maybe, I would say, 65-35 Rams, maybe 60-40 Rams. But even with as you mentioned about the Raiders and the Chargers, it was basically a 55-45 situation when it came to Raiders and Chargers fans. It wasn't dominant Raiders fans as I saw in some reports.
Surprise.
From certain people that were there. That was incorrect because – when I saw the Raider fans, I expected more Raider fans like I did in San Diego the previous year, and I didn't see that. I saw a lot more Charger fans there, and I saw a lot less Raider fans. That's why I said I think the ratio may be 55-45 Raider fans. But the StubHub Center was loud, especially as the Chargers continued to pounce on the Raiders. So I just wanted to put that in. I know the report said otherwise, but I happened to be there.
Yeah, and you get it right. I mean, that's a surprise, and that was because they're the significance of that game for the Charger fan base. I mean, they knew if they beat the Raiders and the Titans lost, they would have made it to the playoffs. Didn't quite happen, but we move on from there. Now, Lakers, LeVar Ball, the daddy of the Lakers. What's your latest news? What's the latest take on him?
Fortunately, it's been very quiet. Unfortunately, Lonzo Ball is still out nursing that shoulder injury. Brooke Lopez and Kyle Kuzma are returning against the OKC Thunder tonight. So they'll have them back in the lineup, which is great. But unfortunately, Lonzo Ball will continue to remain sidelined as he nurses that shoulder, which is, like I said, the fortunate part of all of this is that we haven't heard of Pete from Puffy Knight, better known as LeVar Ball. So that's been the best Christmas present of it all.
Well, Kuzma's been, and it's difficult when you compare somebody to a legend like LeBron James, but some of the comparisons are coming back, saying potential-wise the ceiling is his limit. What are your thoughts about Kuzma? How good can he be, and where is he right now?
You know what, Kuzma, I have to agree with Kobe Bryant. I think the sky's the limit for this kid. I think he needs to pace himself. I think the coaching staff needs to make sure they pace him because he was starting to get some fatigue because he had to log in a lot of heavy minutes in the absence of Lonzo Ball. So I think that the coaching staff needs to be very, very careful as they continue on throughout the season with this young man. And what I mean by that is not letting him log in heavy minutes night in and night out because that's going to burn him out quicker than not. I think you need to pace this young man, make sure he stays healthy, make sure he stays active. But I think Kyle Kuzma is probably the best rookie that the Lakers have. I'm sorry. I mean, I've seen Josh Hart. I like Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart is maybe a year or two away from really coming into his own. You know, Lonzo Ball, you know, he's an excellent passer, but he's remained inconsistent on the offensive end of the ball and defensively most times. So I think he's really going to have to put in some work in the offseason and put on some weight. But I think the steal of the draft was Kyle Kuzma. The Lakers couldn't have lucked up any better.
They got some really good young talent coming up. We'll see how long it takes them to get it together and to start winning. So that's a big feather in the cap for all Laker fans and all L.A. base fans as well. NBC Sports Radio L.A., Nick Hamilton. Nick, we always appreciate your time. Let the folks know where they can find you.
You can find all the latest stuff on the Rams and any Chargers news at NBCLA.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA. And you can catch me every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern on Dash Radio for the Morning After with Nick Hamilton.
Always a pleasure, my bro.
Hey, thanks, Steve. I appreciate you, man. And I'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully.
In a minute. Nick Hamilton, getting it done, NBC Sports Radio Los Angeles. We'll step over when we come back. In that final go-round, a four-pack. Yes, a four-pack for UNLV San Diego State later this month. Next. .353, final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. Yes, time for the giveaway right now. We'll take caller number nine. You got a four-pack to see the Rebels in San Diego State later this month. Caller number nine at 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. Caller number nine, a four-pack, four tickets. All right. Thanks again to Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports Radio, LA, Morning After. Also, you've got the Golden Knights playing against St. Louis, and then they're playing Chicago Friday. So Thursday, Friday, they got their games. For Ari, I'm Seed Williams. Remember, folk, Chins Tuck Low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio more of the show. Coming up tomorrow, NBC Sports Radio 920, game on. Game over.